Caroline, Willie, D-Maze, 102.5, 106.3, The Game, and The Game Nashville app. We're live from the Hiller Plumbing, Heat, and Cooling and Electrical Game Studio, streaming live on Twitch for YouTube and Facebook Live every single day. Our video streaming is brought to you by Superbook Sports. We are live out here at Pete and Terry's Tavern. The Predators taking on the Minnesota Wild tonight. Kind of an anticlimactic one tonight.
Yes, it is. Bazinga! Yes, it is.
So, Derek just discovered, since Derek is living in 2006,
exactly.
Apparently, just discovered the show The Big Bang Theory.
Absolutely, and I love it. Oh, my goodness. It's the funniest show not on television, but on television.
Okay, who's your favorite character so far?
Oh, it's the lead guy. What's it?
Sheldon.
Yeah, Sheldon. Sheldon's the best character of all. He is the best. I mean, I don't know how he can actually sit, like, go over his lines and not laugh. Because he says, like, the funniest
that
stuff.
That is the corniest show, D-Maze.
It is, but I love it. I turn it on, and for about 45 minutes, I am laughing my lungs off. Oh, my goodness.
How
it's so funny.
How did you just now discover Big Bang Theory?
Yeah, I was flicking through the channels, and it was on Fox 17 one day. Was it Fox 17 or Channel 30, one of the two? And I just got to watching it, and it was just funny because it was like dry humor. But
it is.
And I'm like, man, I got to find this show. And I found it. They got all the seasons. Yes.
You are set.
Love it.
If that's not a sign that we need football season so bad that Derek is rejoicing over finding all the seasons of Big Bang Theory.
Yes.
But it reminds me too, because you and Jared both, like, Jared is notorious for not finding out about songs until like 30 years after they came out. Like, I remember one time he was like, I just found this song and it's so awesome. And it was, I'm at a payphone trying to call, like that Maroon 5 song that came out in like 2007. I was like, you just found out about this song, and it's the only thing you've listened to for the last week. It is not new, but I'm so happy that you've had to do show TV.
Thank you. Yes, I feel happy about it as well.
Got plans this weekend.
Absolutely.
Bazinga.
Watching Big Bang Theory. Bazinga.
Okay, well, if that's not a sign to anyone who hasn't watched Big Bang Theory, go check it out. You know, former NFL stars are just like us.
Exactly.
But I want to get into this because we've been going through so many mock drafts. Uh-huh. You know, Dane Brugler, Mel Kiper, Daniel Jeremiah, all of the NFL guru insider draft guys. But we have a new mock draft, a homegrown mock draft.
Oh, wow.
From our one and only Joe Rexroad. And I want to pick on Joe Rexroad a little bit, and I love picking on Joe Rexroad, partly because it gets him so worked up, but mostly because I love him. So this is coming out of a place of admiration and love, Joe Rexroad. So let's dive into it. Joe Rexroad's 7-round Titans mock draft. So he doesn't draft or mock the rest of the teams. That's a lot. Just the 6 picks that the Titans have in the 7 rounds of the NFL draft. So without further ado, the first pick, or the 11th overall pick, in the NFL draft, drumroll please, is Broderick Jones, the offensive tackle out of Georgia. Joe writes, this is based on the expectation that the Bears are going to take Ohio State's Paris Johnson Jr. at number 9. If not, the Titans should take Johnson over Jones. If either is available, that's this franchise's next long-term left tackle, an easy choice. If they're both gone and Northwestern's Peter Skoronski is available, he should be the pick, even though he projects as an interior lineman. The Titans may not be an all-out rebuild at this point, but the Titans' offensive line sure is. The trenches haven't lost any importance in football, and the Titans' skill players don't have a chance next season if that doesn't get drastically better. I think we would all agree.
Mm-hmm.
This offensive line needs help.
Yes.
It needs help drastically. So basically, my overall takeaway from this, from Joe's first overall pick, is just take the best offensive lineman available, or the best tackle available, whether it's Paris Johnson, Peter Skoronski, Broderick Jones, so on and so forth. D-Mace, your thoughts on Joe Rexroad, the Titans GM's first pick in the NFL draft?
I mean, it's not out of the realm of possibility that the Titans go in that direction, but I think they've given themselves some flexibility. Not to say that Rexroad is wrong. I mean, because that's a position at need for the Titans. So if that guy is there that they love and they got ranked high on their board, then at that particular position, then you figure they would take him. But I think the Titans have done enough at this point. Not to say they're not going to do more. Mm-hmm. They've done enough at this point to not make that the number one above all things priority, mm-hmm. the offensive line. Had they not gone out and gotten Andre Dillard and some other offensive linemen, I would have said, yes, point on. You got to go get offensive linemen in this year's draft. But because of what they've done in offseason, I think it's an importance to them because you can never have enough good offensive linemen, mm-hmm. just like defensive linemen. You can never have enough good defensive linemen and defensive backs the way the NFL is sort of trending toward being more of a passing team. So you have to have those corners. You have to have those guys that can rush the passer, and you have to have those guys that can protect the passer. So even with, you know, even saying that, I think the Titans have done enough mm-hmm. from an offensive standpoint right now. Again, they're going to add more, I'm sure. They're going to draft another or two. But I don't think it's such a dire need for them to draft a guy on the offensive line at the 11th pick. Now, if he's there and he's the highest rated ranked player on their board and they don't move up, then yeah, I can see him possibly doing that. But I don't think it's – when we first started this whole going down this road of who the Titans are going to draft, where this team is at, offensive line was number one. Why? Right. Because free agency hadn't started. So we didn't know what they were going to do. Mm-hmm. But now we've
seen – And they
had
no linemen.
Exactly. They had no linemen.
Nicholas Petit-Frere was the extent of it.
Exactly. They was in the process of cutting Taylor Lewan mm-hmm. and Ben Jones and guys like that. So we knew eventually – Dennis Daly was gone. So we knew they had to build this offensive line back up. But what they did systematically for the first sort of wave of free agency, they addressed some of those needs that they had on the offensive line. Don't forget, Andre Dillard was a former first-round draft pick. He has the talent. Everybody said, well, he didn't play at Philly. Look at Philly's offensive line. That's like saying Jimmy Smith, if y'all know Jimmy Smith isn't good because he couldn't play as much in Dallas. Look who they had in Dallas at the time. They had Michael Irvin. They had Alvin. They had all these guys, and Jimmy was their second-round pick. He got hurt. He didn't play as much. What happened? They ended up trading him to Jacksonville, and he's had a Hall of Fame career when he retired. So don't look at Andre Dillard and say, well, because he didn't, you know, start at Philly, Philly has the best offensive line in the National Football League. That doesn't mean he's not a good player. Mm-hmm. The Titans are getting a former first-round draft pick at a young age that they can help develop and be their left tackle.
And that's the idea.
Uh-huh.
So that's how I feel is if they do go out and get an offensive lineman, especially in the first round. I want to focus on the first round here. Maybe you can get a good one in the second round. Uh-huh. The first couple of rounds, your most premier picks in this year's draft. If the Titans decide to dedicate one of those picks, specifically the first round pick, to an offensive lineman, I think that would be a very wise choice. Even though they went out and got Andre Dillard, even though they went out and got Daniel Brunskill, I don't mm-hmm. think that those are necessarily guaranteed to be your answers at the offensive line. Maybe they are. Like, maybe they are the answers. Maybe Andre Dillard is every bit of the left tackle that he was expected to be when he was drafted in the first round in, what was that, 2019?
Yep.
Uh-huh. In 2019. Maybe he absolutely blossoms into what he was expected to be. And I think that's kind of the hope from the Tennessee Titans. Like, I'll go back to this from Jim Wyatt's mailbag earlier this week when he says the team has a lot of needs. If Andre Dillard pans out, then the team should be good for years to come at the tackle position with Nicholas Petit-Frere on the opposite side. That's the idea, but that's the hope. That's an if. If Andre Dillard pans out to be that kind of left tackle, then yeah, great. You're set, and you didn't have to invest a whole lot of resources in order for him to get him. But if he doesn't, mm-hmm. and I'm not saying that I'm expecting him to not, I'm just saying that I don't know. Mm-hmm. I don't know with Andre Dillard because he hasn't been a consistent starter in this league throughout his career in the NFL. So I'm not saying that he is, and I'm not saying that he's going, that he won't. But at least if you do draft a tackle, you've got options. You can be versatile. You can move pieces around. You have insurance, and you have the guys and at least a few insurance pieces to kind of get you to that next step, that if Andre Dillard doesn't pan out, you have your first-round draft pick. If you want to move Nicholas Petit-Frere inside, you can do that because you have your two tackles on the outside.
Well, yeah, and if you look at it, the times that Andre Dillard was able to play, he graded high. Pass blocking, he graded high. Run blocking still needs some work because he's coming out of a system in college where they just did a lot of pass blocking. Mm-hmm. So they knew, Philly knew drafting him, they were going to have to develop him into being a run blocker. He's done okay, but he's more of the pass blocking. They get him here, they develop him to be a run blocking left tackle along with his pass blocking. I believe they've seen enough from Andre Dillard that they went out and they signed him and they penciled him in as their left tackle. I think there would be more of an emphasis coming out of that building if they didn't believe that Dillard was or could potentially be their left tackle of the future. It's mm-hmm. just like a first-round draft pick. If you draft Paris Johnson mm-hmm. or Broderick Jones, you're still crossing your fingers hoping that this guy turns out to be the lineman that you thought he would be. At least with Andre Dillard, he has played some games in the NFL. He knows what it takes to play at this level, the condition and everything that comes along with it. He knows NFL offenses. So I feel better about him than I would a rookie coming in. Not to say the rookie won't be fine, but that first year coming in, this guy is still trying to figure everything out. Well, Dillard has figured it out, so to speak, with another team. Now he comes here, and I do believe he's going to be the tackle that they expect him to be, which means he's going to be a starter for the foreseeable future. Mm-hmm. Whether they re-sign him after a few years or not, that's up to him. But I think he's in their plans to be their tackle at least until the contract runs out.
And I think the difference between that is – if your first-round draft pick doesn't pan out, mm-hmm. that's a first-round pick.
Yes.
And we have seen how missed first-round picks have been so detrimental to this football team. If Andre Dillard is not your left tackle for the next 10 years, mm-hmm. that's going to be okay.
Yeah.
You know, he's a free agent acquisition. Mm-hmm. If he is, great.
Exactly.
Then good job, Rand Carthon. Good job, scouting team. You found a diamond in the rough. Mm-hmm. But if Andre Dillard doesn't pan out like that, but you're putting all of your eggs in the Andre Dillard basket and you don't have an alternative, you don't have a backup, then that kind of gets you back onto the offensive lineman carousel and gets this team's offensive line back in the kind of the rut, so to speak, that it's been in since Taylor Lewan has been in and out of the line and since the offensive line has been such a question mark over the last couple of years. Again, Joe Rex Rhodes' mock draft in The Athletic has the Titans taking Broderick Jones, the offensive tackle, out of Georgia. But really, once you read into it, Joe's just saying, hey, take the best tackle available mm-hmm. with that 11th pick in the first round. Now, Joe mocks all six picks in all seven rounds of the NFL draft. We're not going to dive into every single one of them because, to be honest with you, I don't know who in the world Antonio Maffi from UCLA is. We're not going to dig into that, but I do want to get into the rest of his mock draft, what we think about Joe's mock draft, and if the Titans step away with this draft, with these position groups, how would we feel about it? We'll get into that coming up next. Caroline, Willie, D-Mace, 1025-1063, The Game. Hey, don't miss Nashville's best NFL draft coverage on 102.5 and 106.3 The Game. You can join us on location as we broadcast live from Wingstop, where flavor gets its wings, located at 3300 Gallatin Pike in Nashville. On Friday, April 28th, yours truly and D-Mace will be out there on Friday night getting
Absolutely.
You all of your day two NFL draft coverage. So we're breaking down Joe Rexroad's Titans 7-round mock draft as Joe Rexroad puts his GM cap on. And in the first round, he has the Titans taking Broderick Jones, offensive tackle, out of Georgia. And admittedly, with all of these mock drafts that have come out with trades and the Titans taking a quarterback and so on and so forth, going back to looking at the Titans potentially taking a tackle kind of feels a lot less sexy, mm-hmm. feels a lot less fun to talk about. But it's a practical pick by Joe Rexroad. Now with the round two pick, Joe Rexroad takes off his GM hat and puts on his orange hat because GB Joe in the second round has the Titans taking Cedric Tillman, wide receiver out of Tennessee with the 41st pick. Says a high ankle sprain cost Tillman much of what would have been a huge 2022 season in Knoxville, and Jalin Hyatt filled the void with his blazing speed and likely will go in the first round. Do you agree with that?
Cedric Tillman going in the first round?
Jalin Hyatt going in the first round.
Oh, Jalin Hyatt going in the first round. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't be surprised if he did. I don't expect him to. I would be happy for the young man if he did.
Of course.
But I just look at him. Everybody is enamored by his speed, and rightfully so. But two things really, you know, that I'm worried about. One, he didn't run many other routes other than, you know, the go routes. He hasn't, you know, been, you know, adverse to running all the routes in the route tree a lot of times. It was just, you saw him a lot of times running post goals or hooks or just like catching a quick, you know, one step or something like that. So that's one problem. Two is I don't know how he's how he would react to consistent pressure on him. Will he get pushed around? Will he get pushed off his spot? Will he have a hard time getting off the line of scrimmage? Those are things that I do worry about with him. He has top-end speed, world-class speed. But again, that's not the end-all, be-all, because I've seen a lot of fast guys flame out faster than they are running. You know, they flame out because they haven't gotten a grip on how to be a receiver in this league. It's easier. It's easy to be a receiver in college because of the way the college game is. It's a lot harder to be a receiver in the NFL because people figure you out. You got to reinvent yourself every year. If you don't, you're going to get locked down eventually.
Right.
So to me, he has a lot to work on. I wouldn't take him in the first round. Second round, yes. I don't think he gets past the second round. If he does, then somebody's going to get them a gem. But I don't think he gets out of the second round. But the first round, it's a little bit too rich for me.
That's how I kind of feel about Jalin Hyatt. And it's I almost feel guilty using this every time we talk about a Tennessee offensive player. But I always have to ask, and it's more specifically with quarterbacks and wide receivers, was it your speed or was it the system that allowed you to get that much separation? And it could be a combination of both.
I think it's a combination of both.
Yeah.
And people are so enamored by it because you can't teach it.
Right.
That's something you can't teach. Either you have it or you don't.
And it's something the Titans need.
Exactly.
It's desperately.
Something the Titans need. But I want people to understand this. There's a difference with being fast, and there's a difference in being and having game speed. I like fast guys. They're great. But if I don't turn on a film and see that speed on when I turn it on, and I'm talking about in everything that you do, not just running a go route. I'm talking about I want to see every route you run and how you come off the line of scrimmage. I want to see how you put pressure on that defensive back. Some guys have speed and don't play with it. Some guys don't have the world-class speed, but you turn on the tape, it's like, wow. Anquan Boldin is a guy that I look at. He didn't have game. He didn't have blazing speed. He probably was a 4.5 guy, high 4.5. But when you turned on the film, damn, he played fast. Jerry Rice, he played fast. I didn't have world-class speed, but I played fast. That's what the Titans are talking about. When they're talking about speed, they're just not talking about, oh, I clocked him at a 4.3 or 4.2, 4.1. No, I want guys that play fast. Guys, you don't necessarily have to time fast, but if you're playing fast, that's what I want.
That's got, Rand Carthon explained it, I think, perfectly when he said he was talking to, I forgot who he was sitting down with, maybe Jim Wyatt. But he said, if you invite me over to your house and we both go to your house, you drive in your car, I drive in my car, you're going to get there faster because you know how to get there. Me, I have to look at my phone. I'm looking at the directions. I may take a wrong turn here and there. So that's the difference of not just physical speed, not just you can run really fast,
exactly.
But do you know where you need to go? And
you know what you're doing.
You know what you're
exactly.
doing.
When
That's
you know what
speed.
You're doing, you can play with the speed that you have. When you're hesitant and you don't know what you're doing, you could be a 4.1 guy, but your hesitancy is going to cause you to play at a 4.5 level. No, I'd rather have a 4.5 guy that knows what he's doing and he's playing at a 4.3 speed.
Totally fair.
Yeah.
What do you think about Cedric Tillman?
I love Cedric Tillman. And I've raved about him last year. I've raved about him this year. He has, and not to say that Jalin Hyatt doesn't have it. I don't want this to be a comparison between Jalin Hyatt and Cedric Tillman. They're two different receivers.
It's inevitably going to
it's
happen.
It's going to happen because they're on the same team.
I hear you.
Jalin Hyatt reminds me of Hunter, Justin Hunter. Fast guy, speed, tall, you know. But when you saw him and you actually put him in an NFL game, it didn't equate. What he did in college didn't turn out to be the same thing in the NFL. Why? Because maybe just didn't figure it out. Mm-hmm. What I see from Cedric Tillman, I see, you know, guys like Peerless Price that came out of there. You know, guys like Joey Kent. Guys that not only had speed, but they played fast because they ran all these routes. You know, they were well-versed in route running. Mm-hmm. Cedric Tillman, to me, is well-versed in route running. Not only can he beat you over the top, he doesn't have blazing speed, but he has enough speed to get behind defenders. Not only can he beat you, you know, down the field, he can terrorize you in the middle of the field, a la Juwan Jennings. He's a guy that can make those tough contested catches. He has dog in him. Not to say Jalin Hyatt doesn't, but I see it in Cedric Tillman. He has dog, and that's something you can't teach. That's going to allow you to elevate your game even higher, make you play bigger than what you are. I think he's, what, 6'1", 6'2", anyway. Because he has that dog in him, he's going to play bigger than what he is. Steve Smith, I look at him. He's 5'9", but he played like he was 6'2", 6'3", because he had dog in him. He always wanted to be on an attack. I see that from Cedric Tillman. So if they do get him in the second round, I think it would be a plus for the Titans.
I wouldn't hate it.
No, I wouldn't.
In the slightest. Again, we're breaking down Joe Rexroad. Joe Rexroad's Titans 7-round mock draft. In the first round, he's taking Broderick Jones, offensive tackle out of Georgia. Round 2, Cedric Tillman, wide receiver out of Tennessee. And just kind of, you know, lightning round through the rest of the picks. And round 3, he's taking Trey Palmer, wide receiver out of Nebraska. Do you know anything about Trey Palmer?
No, have not watched Trey Palmer. Let's put it this way. He has not stood out because I've watched Nebraska play several times. Uh-huh. But he hasn't been a guy that stood out from anybody else.
Fair.
You know. So.
Yeah, Joe writes he had the fastest 40 among receivers at the combine. He had a 4.33 40. So that's, uh-huh, you know, bringing that speed element into everything. If Cedric Tillman is going to be a little bit more of your versatile guy, maybe not the fastest guy in the field, Jalin Hyatt was your speedy guy, then in comes your speedy guy in the third round with Trey Palmer, wide receiver out of Nebraska. Payne Durham, tight end out of Purdue. Round 6, Iku Liota, the edge rusher out of Auburn. And I apologize for butchering that because I'm sure I inevitably did. And then around 7, Antonio Maffi, the guard out of UCLA. I am not going to pretend like I know anything about any of those late round guys. So not looking in the specifics of it all, not looking into the individual players themselves. But if the Titans walked away from this year's draft with a tackle, two receivers, a tight end, an edge rusher, and an offensive guard, like Joe Rexroad has mocked here, I think you're at least checking your boxes of positions of need. I don't think that you're done. I don't think you can, mm-hmm, just kick your feet up and say, yep, all of our holes are filled. Mm-hmm. But it's a very practical approach, I think, to the draft this year.
I think it is, but I think one position is missing. I do believe,
corner,
even though, yeah, even though they went on and signed a corner or two, I do believe they need desperately to go get a corner because, listen, you don't know what's going on with Caleb Farley. McQuarrie had a really good rookie season, but you're not projecting him. Even though I think he can play inside, outside, because he has that grit in him. With the way the NFL is now, he's going to have a little bit harder time covering those bigger receivers. Mm-hmm. And then you look at Fulton. He's dealing with a hamstring issue all the time.
Molden,
same, mm-hmm, thing. So I got to get another guy in here that can compete with them for a backup position or a starting position.
And it's not just about filling positions of need. That's something that we've talked about a lot, is that you don't want to handicap yourself into only taking positions that you need. So looking at it from a best player available standpoint, uh-huh, how would we evaluate Joe Rexroad's most recent mock draft? And we will get into that coming up next. And, of course, your thoughts, 615-737-1025 is our phone number. We're out here at Pete and Terry's Tavern at Bridgestone Arena. The Predators in action tonight, taking on the Minnesota Wild. Caroline, Willie, D-Mace, 1025-1063, the game. Caroline, Willie, D-Mace, 1025-1063, the game. We're out here at Pete and Terry's Tavern at Bridgestone Arena. Willie Donick joins the fun now. Willie, how we doing?
I am doing well, guys. It's good to be here. Beautiful day outside. Man, let's just hold this. Can we bottle this up for the next 3 months?
Forever.
Probably not.
It is a beautiful day today. Yeah. But, Willie, we're breaking down Joe Rexroad's most recent mock draft in The Athletic because it is draft season, but it means a little bit more when it's a homegrown mock draft. And in Joe Rexroad's mock draft, he has the Titans taking Broderick Jones, the offensive tackle out of Georgia, in round one. Round two, Cedric Tillman, wide receiver out of Tennessee. He's got the Titans taking another wide receiver, a tight end, an edge rusher, and an offensive guard in the later rounds. And we were saying, hey, I mean, if the Titans step away with those position groups addressed at in those rounds, you could probably feel pretty good about the Titans filling those holes or filling those positions of need. Of course, you're not done. Like D-May said, you're still going to need a corner. That cornerback room needs some help. But you would get a wide receiver, you'd get a tackle, you'd get some depth, you'd feel a little bit better about it.
Yeah, I would think. Now, I haven't asked Joe what his method, you know, what's his method behind the madness. But, you know, I don't know if he consulted any inside sources or anything like that. If I were putting it together, I would probably tend, just because I'm not a talent evaluator, I don't know all of these guys. Like, Teron actually evaluates for himself, which I really admire. You know, he talks to as many guys as he can. He looks at the film. I don't know if Joe's done that on these guys. So what I would tend to do would be more of a need-based, right? Mm-hmm. It's easy to say, hey, let's look at the roster for the Titans. What do they need? Well, okay, they might need an inside linebacker. Well, they might need a corner. So let's look at the corners. You know, so I guess that's how I would go about it. So I'd love to talk to Joe about how he arrived at it. You know, I've often wondered, though, what is the best way to draft? Is it, can you hurt yourself sometimes if you get too dialed into the positions of need and rather than best look player. At the best player? Like if you get a guy that's right there, and maybe it's not a position to meet, but, man, he stands out with the best grades that you've got right there. That's really the art, I think, of picking well every year, right?
Because whenever a player becomes a Pro Bowler, you're not going to think about, well, did they need that position when they drafted him? You're just going to think about, oh, my goodness, this is one of the best players in the league. So I'm glad you brought that up, because there are two different philosophies of drafting, is drafting positions of need versus drafting the best player available. So I think that if you're looking at need, Joe addressed a good bit of needs that the Titans have. But looking through that other philosophy, that other scope of best player available, looking at Joe Rexroad's draft, that's kind of one of my biggest takeaways, at least from the first few rounds. Joe didn't necessarily go by quote-unquote best player available. And like in a mock draft, it's hard to do that. But basing Joe's draft off of Dane Brugler's mock draft, in round one, he has the Titans taking Broderick Jones at number 11. In Dane Brugler's rankings, he has Broderick Jones ranked as the 15th best overall player. To Joe's credit, he wrote, just take the best tackle available. So, you know, that's, you know, you're taking the 15th best player at 11. That's not necessarily the greatest value. Round two, he has the Titans taking Cedric Tillman at 41. Dane Brugler has Cedric Tillman ranked as the 57th best player in this year's draft. In round three, he has the Titans taking Trey Palmer at number 72. Dane Brugler has him ranked as the 95th best player. Now, anything can happen on draft day. You can have the fifth best player in the draft fall to you at 11, or you may just have to take, you know, whatever it might be. But each of these, because Dane Brugler ranks 1 through 100, in each of these top 100 picks, or the top three picks that the Titans have in within Dane Brugler's top 100, they're all ranked below where the Titans are taking. So it almost feels like while you would address positions of need, you're not getting very good value by taking the 95th best player in this draft with the 72nd pick.
No, I mean, a lot of it, you know, and obviously, you know, Rex doing his mock draft, you know, he referenced, you know, Brugler on his mock draft. I mean, not necessarily his mock, but his top 100 or 200 players. And like you said, Caroline, it's hard to sort of, you know, place exactly the top player on your board where that player ranks, because maybe that player ranks lower than, you know, say if you're sitting there with the second pick, second round pick, and you're looking at a Cedric Tillman, you're at 41. On your, you think and you believe he's the best player, but you start looking around and where everybody else has him ranked, and you may have him ranked a little bit lower. He's not the 41st person. There's other people ahead of him,
right.
But he might be the, you know, say if there's six wide receivers, five of them already went. He's in that top tier of wide receivers. So do you pass him by and say, well, no, he doesn't rank that high on our board, but he is the sixth best wide receiver and five of them have already been taken. So do you pass him up or do you say, listen, we're going to take him because he ranked high and it is a player at need.
That
and
is
you're not
great,
necessarily looking at the
a great
whole
what if.
Thing.
Yeah. That's a great what if because that's exactly the situation where I think you probably have a pretty good debate going in your little room where everybody's weighing in one last time and the clock is going because I think that is a dilemma. It's hard. If you know you do need a wide receiver, man, you need a wide receiver. And this guy's way better than the next guy on the board. Mm-hmm. The next time it comes around to you and you know there's not a wide receiver that you have graded that high, tough to pass on that.
Yeah.
But if you got three other guys that have better overall ratings, I'm sure there's somebody in that room going, look at the ratings on this guy. Yeah.
And he may not be a wide. He may be
may
a
not be the
back.
Position of need.
Exactly.
It could be Jalen Carter.
Exactly.
Not necessarily a position of need, but are you going to pass on a guy like that?
Yeah.
It's a tough philosophy. Yeah. And I'm not picking on Joe here. And, of course, the only rankings that matter or your board, or whatever. However, the Titans have evaluated those players. I mean, maybe Broderick Jones is the third best player on their board. So if he falls to you at 11, then absolutely you have to take him because their evaluation is really the only one that matters. But if we're going to go off of The Athletic, if Joe's our GM and Dane Brugler is our board, then the value wouldn't be great. And that's the tough thing to kind of weigh.
Yeah, I guess it. You know, that's always sort of the dilemma. Of, okay, you have, let's not even say the first round. You have that second round, and you're picking at 41st, and you see a guy that you like at a position in need, but there's other guys on the board that rank higher on your board, and they're there. So do you take the player at need, i.e. a wide receiver, or just say that running back is ranked a little bit higher or that safety is ranked a little bit higher? Do you take the safety or the running back, or do you take the player at need, like Willie said, because if we come back around, that guy may not be there.
Do you
so
risk
do we
trading
take him
back?
Now? Exactly. Do we take him now, or do we trade back and still be able to get him right around where we have him on our board?
And they need more picks. That is something that would be beneficial. What is it? You know, there is a hole in there. And if they could grab more picks in that second, third.
They don't have a fourth-round pick this year.
So that's, you know, if you could grab a couple more picks in there, you got a better chance of maybe bolstering some areas on the roster. So that's worth looking at.
Indy Ben texts in the text line, fully driven by Wilson County, Hyundai.com, says the Titans are almost in a spot where they have to draft on need versus getting the best value. Their offensive line and wide receiver core is among the worst in the league. But then that's where it comes into let's trade back. Because why would you draft, let's say the Titans say Jaxon Smith-Njigba is the best player in this year's draft, or the best wide receiver, rather, in this year's draft. Well, are the Titans going to take him at 11? If you have him ranked best wide receiver but 20th best player, well, that's when you trade back. If they say we absolutely positively have to get a wide receiver in the first round, I don't think that's the smartest way to draft. But if they look at it like that, well, that's when you trade back. You grab more picks. You get more options or opportunities at hitting on picks in this year's draft when you have more cracks at it. Or you just go get the best player available. And maybe that best player, there's a Jalen Carter, is the difference maker for your team.
Oh, if Jalen Carter falls that to 11, I think you have to throw conventional wisdom to the board and say, listen, this guy right here, I don't know how he got to us. But we have to draft him.
Welcome to Nashville.
I don't care if we do need a tackle. We do need a cornerback. I get all that. We do need a receiver. But guys like Jalen Carter don't come around too often. And you book him with Jeffrey Simmons. I mean, good Lord. There's nothing you can't do from a defensive front with the guys that you already have. So, you know, I can – if that was to happen, I can see them going best player available. But if it's like a – Jaxon Njigba, it's like, okay, how far is he off from the second and the third wide receiver? If I got them all sort of in a bunch and he's like a 87 and these other guys are 86, 85, then I'm trading back. I'm not drafting him at the 11th pick because even if I don't get him, I can get somebody else that's comparable to him.
if you have a trade partner, it feels pretty like a no-brainer. One texter texts in, and I feel like I've heard this a lot, says I'm out, not necessarily specifically about Broderick Jones, but the idea. One texter says, I'm out on Broderick Jones, no more Georgia offensive linemen.
Oh, come on now. You can't say that.
Can't do that.
Can't do that.
Don't let one bad seed ruin your perception. Because if you say no more Georgia players ever, you're going to miss out on a lot of good players.
Yeah, miss out on a lot of good ones.
I understand being jaded. I understand a little bit of apprehension there. But it's don't let one bad seed ruin the rest of the bunch. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. So Joe's most recent mock draft in The Athletic, he has the Titans 7-round mock draft. It has a different vibe, maybe, than some of the recent mock drafts that we've seen from a Daniel Jeremiah or a Dane Brugler, a Mel Kiper, so on and so forth. But I want to ask you two, I want to ask the callers, the texters, all of our listeners, what is more exciting? What do Titans fans want? And what would be the best for the Titans, both in the near and far future? We'll get into that coming up next. Caroline Relly Demays, 1025 The Game. Caroline, Willie, D-Mays, 1025-1063, The Game. We're out here at Pete and Terry's at Bridgestone Arena. The Predators taking on the Minnesota Wild tonight. Puck drop at 7 o'clock. We will have all of your pregame coverage starting at 6 o'clock on 1025 and 1063, The Game. Joe Rexroad had a 7-round Titans mock draft, and it's a very practical approach to the draft. Offensive tackle, two wide receivers, tight end, edge, guard, not big shifts, not big changes, not any big reaches, just pretty much across the board positions of need for the Tennessee Titans. And it's a big change or a big difference from what we've seen from some of the more recent national mock drafts, like Mel Kiper's most recent mock draft that has the Titans trading up to number 3 and taking Anthony Richardson, like that 33rd team draft we saw a couple of weeks ago that had the Titans also trading up to number 3, taking Will Levis. Big, splashy moves for a quarterback. Two questions about that. First and foremost, what do you think Titans fans would rather have happen? A more Joe Rexroad-esque mock draft or draft, or a more Mel Kiper 33rd team Daniel Jeremiah bold draft for the Titans this year?
Oh, man. I don't know. That's an interesting question because, some people look at it as, well, the Titans didn't feel the holes that they needed right now in the first wave of free agency, because there will be a second wave, I believe, after the draft and after June 1st. I think there'll be another wave of guys you can kind of sort of pick through. So some fans may look at it as the Titans still haven't addressed their needs, and we've got text about it. They still need offensive linemen. So I guess it's right in alignment with what Joe was saying. If Paris Johnson is not there, then you get the next best tackle, because I don't think the kid from Northwestern.
Peter Skronsky.
Yeah, Skronsky.
He just sounds like a good offensive lineman, doesn't he?
Skronsky.
Yeah. You can put him at tackle, but he's
hand in the dirt.
He's more suited for the guard position, and I think if you draft him to be a tackle, you're going to be disappointed because the player's not going to match the position that you drafted him in to play tackle. If you draft him as a guard, I think you'll get more production out of him, and that pick would be a value when you look at it years down the line. So some of the fans may be looking at it like, they haven't addressed it, so they need one. And then you got a subsection of fans that think, okay, they've addressed it with Dillard, as I believe they have as well, so they can go another route. They can look at another position, whether it be moving up in the draft, getting a quarterback, or moving back in the draft and getting your receiver. So that's kind of a hard question to sort of really pinpoint, because there are some fans that are on both sides of the gate here.
I just can't get over Skronsky. Like, he's got to be good. That would be what I would say in the draft room. Like, he just sounds like he'd be good at the tackle.
This guy has to be good.
Like a corn-fed Midwestern offensive lineman.
Just pick him.
It's like he has to be good. Like, come on.
It's like if you're on the jury, you're like, he just looks guilty to me. He just looks suspicious. Yeah. I don't believe what he's saying.
I don't like his suit. He's guilty.
Oh, man. Well, first of all, kudos to Joe for doing all this. Like, this would not be something that I would want to do, put one of these together. And so when you ask the question, what do Titans fans want, it probably depends on if you're one of those guys that likes to really get down in the mud mm-hmm. and learn about all these players. So when you see them and you're watching the draft, you're like, oh, yeah, I've been reading about this guy.
That's that Hawaii guard that I love.
Yeah, I'm not that guy, right? Yes. So I'm not going to go that deep. So when the names start going on the board after the first round, usually I'm just like, oh, okay, let's go read up on this guy. Let's listen to what they have to say. But some people really get into this stuff, right? So, you know, what's boring to me might not be boring to, you know, Joe Fan, who just texted us on the line and said, hey, you know, we got to have this guy in the fourth round. Are you kidding me? You know, like because he's been down there. He's been doing the research. So it just has never ceased to amaze me. And even ESPN people say this, how big an event it's become. Remember when these streets were just completely loaded with people?
Yes.
when we had the draft, I mean, it was just phenomenal.
Wild.
Phenomenal.
Couldn't see a single inch of blacktop.
And what are they doing? They're standing there among thousands of people and watching guys get picked. Mm-hmm. How many of the people standing there knew who half of those guys were after the first round, right? Because it was the same in the second round, the third round, all the way through. It was just amazing to me. How much people get into this. I guess just the idea of hope for your team. If you hit on these guys, your team's going to get way, way better. Like, it's such an essential thing, but the actual process and the research and things like that, we get into it, but at the same time, when those names come on the board, I don't know who most of them are after a while. So what does it mean to be practical? What does it mean to be exciting? I guess it's exciting if you wheel and deal and you're making a lot of trades or if you pick guys off of Alabama and you've watched Alabama play a bunch, or you know, if you're an SEC person and you've seen more of these guys and your team ends up picking three guys from the SEC, you're like, oh, I remember seeing those guys play. That guy had a great game against LSU. I remember that. I was there. You know, that's exciting, I guess. But it's different for different people, right?
And I think it's different. Let's say if your NFL team has a top five pick, you're probably more into it. Or if your college team that you're a fan of has – you know, a few guys projected to go in the first round. That's a lot more exciting than it is when they're not. Like the 2020 draft for me, I was like, well, I know all these guys. Yeah. And I went to school with all these guys. And this year I'm like, oh, like, ooh.
Yeah. Who is that?
So the levels of excitement vary every year for a team, college and NFL, depending on how much you're invested into it. Like if I'm a Carolina fan, I'm thrilled about this draft. But I weirdly enough think that Titans fans would almost prefer the Titans have a quote-unquote boring draft where they just stick at 11 or maybe trade back to the late teens, high 20s and take a receiver rather than the most recent Mel Kiper mock draft philosophy of Titans are trading up and going to get Anthony Richardson. And they're trading all these picks away. I weirdly almost feel like Titans fans want a conservative approach this year. The Titans fans just want them to go out, fill your needs, and then go from there.
It's almost like the – do you want to – it's like that with anything, I think, in this world. Do you want to take a chance and go for that big bang?
High risk, high reward.
Or do you want to sort of play a conservative – and
play the percentages.
Yeah, play the percentages and say, okay, let's move down. Let's take this safe guy, you know, because it is a player of need, whether it be a tackle, interior lineman, or receiver. I think fans probably are more so inclined to think that way sometimes because, one, you didn't have to give up anything to move up. And then, two, it's a player that you do need. So in 3 years, if this player – isn't what you thought he was, you can't say, well, man, they moved up and got that guy and they wasted a pick and they wasted this and whatnot. I go back to Corey Davis. Had he not been drafted, what, third overall? Say if he had been drafted 23rd overall, people wouldn't have as much to say about him at 23 as they did at 3 because, he's a bust. He didn't give us anything. I'm glad they didn't keep him. Well, if they had got him at 23 and he gave you that production, he's still a first rounder. So why would you say, why would you change your perception of who he is as a player because he was drafted 3rd and not 23rd? He still gave you production. Now, whether that production matched the place that he was drafted, that's a different story. But he still was a good player for this organization. And I think sometimes we get into, well, he was drafted this high, so the expectation, which is true, mm-hmm. the expectation is this. So, tight fest, we don't want to go that route anymore. We've been burned. So let's play it safe, move down,
right.
draft a player at need, and I'm sure he will work out.
And if the Titans do decide to go for it, trade the picks.
I say go for it.
Get Anthony Richardson. I know all the Titans fans that were, we shouldn't do that, are like, yeah, we got our quarterback. And it also, the other kind of philosophical question is, which scenario makes you a better team this year? 3 years from now, 5 years from now. Mm-hmm. And it's you can't answer that question now. Because you could say, well, an offensive tackle can help you right now. In theory,
yeah,
it would. Or you would say in 3 years, you know, Anthony Richardson's going to be the best quarterback in the league. You could say that in theory, yeah. But it's tough to answer which is the better philosophy.
It's all theory. That's what makes it compelling, because there's no set way of doing it, right?
And all of the questions that we're asking and all the answers that we want, we are never going to know. Mm-hmm. It's all under lock and key within that building. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. Jeffrey Simmons inked a 4-year contract extension with the Tennessee Titans. He spoke with the media yesterday, a really emotional, heartfelt testimony from Jeffrey Simmons yesterday. But we also heard from his agent. He's been on several podcasts and spoke about how the process went down. We will discuss that coming up next. Caroline Ridley, D-Mace, 1025-1063, The Game.